Is this thing even on? Because it's the news, according to me. Yeah, I had the volume turned down on my bumper music there a little bit. This is the news, according to me. I would be me, and the news is what I'm going to talk about. I have failed to bring my liquid beverage down here with me. I just got a new-to-me computer here at the house, at my home studio. Going to see how this thing sounds. You are all going to be part of my, well, I would say the guinea pig part of this whole thing. We'll see how this goes. I decided to invest in another computer here because I had the old 1942 Macintosh. And I decided it's still going, but it's not able to run the software I need it to do because it won't run the operating system I need it to do. Well, like it will run the operating system. I should say that it will run the operating system, but it would overwhelm the operating system. It would overwhelm the speed of the processor. I think it's a 0.5 gigahertz instead of no, it's probably a 2. It's probably about a 2 gigahertz, maybe even a little less. I don't know. But it wouldn't handle it. And with doing the audio stuff that I can't afford to do, have dropouts when I'm doing. I'll talk into the mic. That'll probably sound better. I bet that sounds better. I had my pop filter moved over to, I was just talking into thin air, which is interesting. And the quality, I know you guys tune in because of the quality of this recording. I know that's what this is all about. You don't care what I say. You want to know about the quality. So that's why you're here. And that's why I'm here, to give you that quality. Quality of life. Quality of whatever. Yeah, whatever. I know what you're saying. You're saying, whatever, Kevin, just move on. Get on with it. I want to hear your opinion on some things. And boy, it's been a while here since the News According to Me has had an episode. And I've been having an episode, but I digress. That is not really what this is about. What I was doing recently is traveling all over the place. And I've been everywhere from Virginia to Chicago. Where else did I go? I've been to Louisville, Kentucky. Florida, Panhandle, and that's just all been the last couple of days, a few days. I don't know where I was before that. It's been, since last Friday, has been kind of a whirlwind. I actually tried to do a show Monday evening. Thought I was going to post it late night from a hotel room, and that didn't work out because I just didn't. I got about halfway through the show, got kind of interrupted, and then I just was too tired and didn't finish it, didn't post it, didn't even post what I did because it really wasn't, I didn't really did anything. It was just a half a show. What are you going to do with half a show? You know, you're going to listen to half the news? What are you going to get out of that? Nothing. Mostly because the first half of my show is usually nothing. It's just me talking about stuff like this. So it's just, you know, you get into the news. We got some interesting news going on, and there's some really troubling stuff out there. And I hate to be downer all the time. And without Rabbi Rick here, I'm a downer. And we can find a way to make some jokes about this stuff. But my humor tends to go either dark or just kind of dry. And some people don't like that. Some people do. Obviously, some people do because there's people listening to this thing. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that. But I definitely have, oh, looky there, when I throw it over the other screen, it's huge over there. This is kind of weird. I have a second monitor, and I got a bigger computer screen now, and I've got the 27-inch Mac. It's not new, but it's not as new as my one at the other office. However, it does have a processor and a big enough hard drive and stuff in it that it works good, and I can run Logic Pro, which is what I run stuff on. And I have a second monitor. It's basically a television set that I run. I think it's a 30-inch, I believe, television set. And I run that through an adapter, go to the HDMI monitor. It does some weird things. So I've been working on setting this thing up all day, all morning here. Well, not all morning, but part of the morning. And I got it pretty much set up, I think, now. So this is the first recording I've done on this thing. We'll see how it goes. Still have some echo in this room, which is basically because of the room itself. I don't have all the diffusion panels and all that stuff put up yet, so there's still a little bit of echo in here. But it probably won't bother you. It'll probably bother me more than you. And I, you know, but you don't want me to be bothered. You wouldn't like to see me bothered. It's not pretty. Okay, so let's get into the news, because there's just a whole lot of stuff going on. I don't even have my newsy stuff up here. I don't even have my notes here. I don't have my iPad here. I just jumped into this show. I was all excited that I got the computer to start up down here. But I didn't even start the show yet. Or didn't even have my stuff ready for the show. However, I think I'm well equipped right now to talk about whatever. I got about 27 topics going through my head, which probably is worse than having no topics, probably. I don't know. It's hard to tell which is going to be better here. Let's see if I can pull up my docs. See what happens if I do that. It'll probably go crazy. Oh, yeah, I got to sign in. That's probably going to be helpful. See if that works. I doubt if it probably won't work. Oh, what's my password? There's just no end to this. There it is. Okay, let's see if it works. Save the password. There we are. There's my documents. By golly, it works. So, yeah, this is episode 147, I believe. I think. I don't know. I'm not positive on that. I have to double check on that one, I guess. Let's do this. I'm going to save that. I'm going to save this. And I probably should save that. And I'm going to change this. You guys really don't know what's going on, do you? Because now this isn't live yet. Now the... Yeah. There we go. Make it that. The whole Rumble thing is what I talked about last week a couple times, the potential of going live. I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm guessing it's going to be about a month before they're going to go allow little pipsqueaks like me to go to do a live broadcast on Rumble. But that is the goal. I've got a Rumble account over there. It's the news according to me at Rumble over there. And if you get a chance to get on Rumble and you can subscribe, I think you can find my channel. I'm not sure. I haven't even pulled it up myself to see what it looks like. But you can give it a try. I'll be letting everybody know when it gets online and working, because you know, I'm sure all of you are sitting there on the edge of your chairs waiting till it does. So there's a lot going on. Everything from Nancy Pelosi to AOC. I guess Nancy Pelosi wrote a book now. I don't know where she finds time to write a book. These people in Congress that write books all the time. Republicans and Democrats, they're always writing books. And, they get these book deals. Here's a little known fact about this stuff. There's a couple different ways that you can launder money. One of them is through artwork. Another one is through book writing. And there's other things that... A lot of other things you can do also to launder money, but these people are on top of all these games that people that they play is all about laundering money. And by laundering money, I mean getting money for favors. So you can't donate to my campaign, but you can give me a $10 million book deal that knowing full well you're never going to sell 10 million books. Or even a million books. Now you can sell books. There's all these programs that people they scam the system all the time with Amazon and other basically Amazon's the one that's the big one. There are these book clubs you can get involved in. So you get in this club, you pay a monthly fee, and there's 10,000 people in the club, and the agreement is that everybody in the club will buy each other's books. Now that you can offer them with a discount code or even for free initially, give them a coupon so you can give away a whole bunch of books. And so what you do is you post your books, you give a whole bunch of them away, and a bunch of people get them and read them and write reviews. And it's a scam because that puts you then at the top of the list of their category, or sometimes potentially at the top of the bestseller list. So it's a way to kind of, in my opinion, cheat the system, but it's kind of a way of going viral without actually going viral. It's kind of a unionized, it's not really unionized, it's just it's a co-op. People do this kind of thing, and more power to them. I guess if they only want to do that kind of thing. But the people who make the real money in those kinds of deals are the people who are taking the, 10,000 people's monthly fee or yearly fee or whatever it is. Because that's really where the money is. Because the marketing, the books get out there, they got 10,000 in your category or whatever, and then all of a sudden the next thing you know, people are buying it or whatever. But what happens with these book sales, these book deals, is they say, okay, we're going to give you, they even provide them sometimes with a ghostwriter. We've got a ghostwriter for you, they're going to write a book for you. All you got to do is jot down some ideas and some thoughts, and they're going to basically put out a rough draft, and you look at the rough draft, and then you tell me if, it goes back and forth. There's back and forth between the ghostwriter and the author. Make sure it sounds right, make sure it's accurate stories and all that stuff. And then they put the book out for you. And of course, they'll say it sells a whole bunch, but it actually doesn't actually sell a whole bunch. It may be a bunch of people downloading copies of it, but it doesn't necessarily mean you sold a bunch of books. But the point is, money changes hands from one person to another, sometimes in the tunes of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions. And in the process, because they did that for you, now you can, they become a political friend, so to speak. That's the way that works. Same thing with artwork. They'll have an art auction, or they'll make art for you, or they'll have you do some artwork or whatever, and they'll buy your artwork, or they'll trade artwork, and they'll pay exorbitant amounts of money for way overpriced stuff. And that's how they move the money around. And then they use those as basically their own currency. So they can trade back and forth. They can do all this, stuff with their money. And it's art. And therefore they get away with that kind of stuff all the time. It's very difficult to, when you're trading stuff like that, there's probably even a tax break on some of that stuff, being able to do that kind of thing. You buy a piece of crappy artwork for 25 cents at a garage sale, and you sell it to some bozo that wants to buy your time or get access to your campaign or whatever, and they'll give you $10 million for that thing. And that's how they do it. Well, I sold a piece of fine piece of artwork. Yes, it's fine. Fine piece of artwork that I happened to find in a garage sale for 25 cents, discovered that it was an original Perry Popenay. It's a Perry Popenay, and Perry Popenay is a very little known, obscure artist that, who at the time they did it was 3 years old. But that's beside the point. It's a very elegant piece of work, and so we went to charge $10 million for that. Yeah, so we have stuff like that going on. Now, Nancy Pelosi writes a book. And I guess he was kind of slamming the squad on this one. I think even including AOC. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. Well, I know what's going on with that. There's a lot of fighting behind the scenes. And what it amounts to, and I've talked with a lot of people over the last week since Friday. And it's been interesting to get out among people again and just kind of chat about things that are going on. I did not talk to, there's only one individual that I talked to that I didn't wade into the conversation of the election or Trump policies or Biden or any of that kind of stuff. He seemed to be pretty, I don't know if he's into politics at all or not, but which also is something I want to talk about a little bit in terms of how people change, grow, and I'll say evolve in terms of their ideologies. Now, most of the individuals I worked with or worked around this last week were, they are not happy with the current administration. They think that this is the most ridiculous thing they're seeing ever. And of course they're all right leaning. They would be considered your typical kind of Fox News watcher. Not all. No, they're a little upset with Fox right now. I mean, a lot of people. I would say a typical Trump supporter. Not huge. Just they just liked what Trump was doing, and they liked what where the economy was going. They are tired and frustrated with the whole COVID thing. They are very extremely exhausted with all this stuff, and the way it continues to be used to manipulate, scare, fearmonger, all those things. And I'm not gonna delve into that too much today. This isn't gonna be about COVID today, but it's gonna be. There is some things about philosophical ideology and where it's going and where it is and where it's going. Now, let me just say this: let me just throw this out there. This thought kind of crossed my mind over the last week. Most people, move from leftist Democrat ideology. As they get older, they move to the right, at least to the center, and then to the right, usually. A lot of people who have been Democrats or who are Republicans have actually moved from being Democrat to Republican. And this is an interesting phenomenon. And there's been a lot of information studies, whatever you want to call them, basically, just information, I guess, I don't know, about the brain and the way the brain develops. And basically what I've come to understand is that the brain does not develop fully until about the age of 29 for most people. I think it's different between females and males. I think actually males are fully developed a little later and females' brains develop a little sooner, within a couple of years typically. And this is on average. I mean, there's differences between individuals, but in general, a woman's brain tends to fully develop around the age of 27 or 28, and a man's brain is like 29, 30, 31, right in there, sometimes later, and sometimes earlier for either one, just either earlier or later. However, it's in general, talking generalizations here. I know some people don't like that. It's like Joe Biden saying that a woman can do anything as good or better than a man can do. Anything. Not a single thing that a man can do that a woman can't do as good or better. Not a single thing. He repeated himself. Really, not a single thing. Not a single thing. Can't think of anything, Joe. Think about that statement for a minute. Yeah. Apparently Joe hasn't been out in the world very much. But anyway, so we have this ideology that moves from basically being a leftist. They say that Democrats, if you're a Democrat when you're younger, you have... that's because you have a heart. If you are a Republican, if you're still a Democrat by the time you're 29 or 30, you have no brain. That's what I've been, that's kind of like a saying that he said. If you're not a Democrat when you're younger, you have no heart. If you're not a Republican by the time you're 29, you have no brain. So it's an interesting ideology that we have right now. I was talking to Rabbi Rick this morning and had a good conversation. He's been busy. He was gone for on a little vacation for about a week or two, so, and he's back now, but they've cut the staff down at his where he works, and it's they're expected to carry a lot more load now, and so he's just been really kind of swamped every day trying to get everything done. And that's happening in a lot of places. A lot of companies have done that. They're slimming down their staff, trying to do what they can. As people leave, they just try to spread the responsibilities out. The problem you have with that is that then when another person, so this person has more responsibilities now, and then when they leave, that leaves a bigger hole. There's no one, and sometimes there's no one there to cover because no one knows. They when people used to kind of be able to cover for each other because people knew kind of the side, the overlapping job responsibilities. That doesn't happen now because you put all that load on one person. When that one person's gone, it really messes everything up because now you can't defer that work off to someone else. It's, the person's just gone. And so that they take with them all the skills and knowledge and history and experience that they've had with that position and their abilities that they can do or even train someone else, and you don't have it anymore. So it's very frustrating for the other workers trying to pick up, where the person left off. So we have this, it used to be that Democrats and Republicans pretty much had the same, they shared the same constitutional foundation. However, they wanted to go about fulfilling the Constitution in different ways. And this is, at the end of the day, you could get together and discuss, okay, we want to see the same things. We want to make sure people are taken care of. We want to see, make sure this is, that the general welfare is dealt with, that the, certain things are done. We want to make sure that is done properly. And people aren't, there's nobody falling through the cracks. There needs to be a safety net, whatever. However, I want to make sure everybody can afford health care. We want to make sure everybody can afford, whatever it is they need. And get their lives, keep their lives going. Everybody wants to see that. However, we have differing opinions on how to accomplish that. And it used to be you could come together, even across the aisle and say, okay, let's figure out a way to get this done so that the American people can have a path so the legislation lines up and things line up and everything can happen properly. And that's kind of the way the Democrats and Republicans used to work. The Democrats were more tax and spend. The Republicans were more, liberty, individual liberty, kind of let people work it out on their own, private sector, let the private sector kind of be able to work its magic and do its thing and not let the government get involved as much. Just make sure that it was overseen by pertinent regulations, things that made things, a level playing field for everybody. And the other side of it was we just have a government program, you can qualify, but we need to tax people and we need to spend more money and make infrastructure and all this other stuff. And make the government, part of the answer to that. Well, that was the natural progression of that in the progressive movement, was that it would become more of a socialist or a communist, socialist slash communist ideology. And that is exactly where we are headed now. Of course, now once you got close enough to the Marxist ideology, the Marxists came in and basically kind of have overthrown the Democrat Party. And they're beginning to put pressure on those who are in the swamp or in the establishment of the Democrat Party to push them into this radical new agenda and radical new ideology. So because we don't have an ideology, and I was talking with Rabbi Rick about this, they don't love the country. So they see everything about this country as it was founded as evil. It was built on colonialism and white privilege and whatever you want to call it. Just all these different things that they have names for that they think are just all evil. Slavery and all this stuff. That's what they think the nation was founded on. And so it was, slave owners came up with these ideas. Well, even if they were slave owners, even if there were some of them were slave owners, can a slave owner have a good idea? We're kind of seeing this with Trump a little bit. They got Trump out of office, and everything that Trump did, good or bad, has to go away. They can't acknowledge that Trump did anything good because, you know, racism. Because they've labeled him as a racist monster, a racist misogynist, whatever else you want to call him, every name in the book, Nazi monster. And so therefore, anything he did has to be undone, even if it was something that was good for the country. Because, you know, racism. Orange man bad. And in the process, they're swinging the pendulum so far to the other side that they can't even see themselves. They're so blind with rage, they can't see past anything. They can't give Trump credit for anything good that he did. Now, I'm totally in disagreement that he's a racist. I don't believe he's racist at all. And I don't think that he's a Nazi or that he's, you know, a dictator or any of that kind of stuff. I think what we're seeing now is more dictatorial than anything we've seen in our nation's history. However, this is where it gets interesting. And I think that the ideology that they're pushing is because this narrative, and it's a phony narrative, and that's the reason I believe that most of this, most of the way that they had to take over the way that they had to win the election, suppose, you know, I say win with quote air quotes, you can't see them, but I'll do air quotes on my microphone. To win the election, and then just to move on from that and act like if you say anything or say anything at all about that, you're an insurrectionist. Of course, they use the January 6th thing now. I was listening to Matt Walsh. You know, Matt Walsh had a really good, a couple of really good programs. Eric Metaxas had a very good, had an author on who explained the history of the Communist Party. If you get a chance, check out Eric Metaxas on YouTube. He's got a radio program as well. I'm not sure whether I don't know if he's syndicated or not. I know he's on several different, he's apparently nationally known, but I don't hear him on any radio programs in my area. However, I listen to the radio a lot less now. I mostly listen to stuff online, so I just listen to online radio stations and that kind of thing. Local radio, I don't listen to as much. I still do some, but not as much, especially since Rush is gone. He had this guy on, and he was explaining some things about the history of communism and the utopian society. And maybe I'll play some clips of that later, maybe tomorrow. I've got a lot going on this week. Got to take my dog to the vet later, and I got to get my yard mowed, and I got to get my boat in the water, and I got to get my motorhome checked out. I'm off for the next 2 weeks. I got a 2-week vacation basically from some of my work. I have other work to do, but don't get me wrong. The business still has to be run. But I have, I'll be home at least for the most part for 2 weeks, which means regular episodes starting today. This is the afternoon show of the News According to Me. And for the next couple of weeks, we will have regular morning and evening shows. That being said, I just want to say this is the point I want to get across, is that the ideology now that we're facing, that we're looking at, is very different than what we've had in this country before. And I'm hoping that people are kind of waking up. I know people are waking up to this. They're seeing people are more attentive now. People are more frustrated, you know, the trillions of dollars being spent, trillions upon trillions upon trillions. They're talking about, and this has been, 3 months, basically, since Joe was, so we had January, February, March, coming up on 4 months. On the 20th, it'll be, what is that, 4 months? I guess, what is it, January, February, March, April. Yeah, that's... 20th will be 90 days, basically. Getting close to 100 days. Now, if you remember last week, I said something about getting close to the 100 days. Joe said within the first 100 days that he would do a council on on exploring changes to the Supreme Court. And they're doing that. They just announced, you know, over the weekend, basically at the end of last week, they're going to, they got this council, bipartisan, it's a bipartisan council set up to, and when they say bipartisan, they mean people like Mitt Romney. I don't know if he's on the council or not, but talking rhinos and establishment, you know, Republican people who aren't really Republicans at all. Or maybe they are Republicans. Maybe we just need to call them something different. Maybe they need to let them have that name, that label, whatever it is. But they're not true conservatives. Of course, they try to hijack the word the conservative as well. Just the, whatever label fits that they can relate to. I don't consider Lindsey Graham a conservative. I see him as more of an establishment Republican. And he tries to play, you know, both sides of that field a little bit, but he tries to act like he's doing something, but he doesn't do anything. He's a good actor. So the issue now is that the Supreme Court could look very different in the next little while. And when I'm saying little while, I mean it could be before the end of the year. I also don't believe that Joe Biden will be president by the end of the year. I'm really seriously doubting it. He's, again, they've got him on medication, obviously, now that I think it's affecting his ability to speak. He's more slurred in his speech. And I happened to think about this the other day. I saw him talking. He was giving a speech with his mask on. And, you know, I should do a video of this, like a demonstration. And wear a mask and then have, you know, I could say various things and dub it into the mask and dub it into the video and make it look like I was saying those things when I'm actually not, because you can't see my mouth moving. It's just, you know, kind of see my face kind of moving a little bit and the mask moving a little bit. But you have no idea what kind of articulation's coming out because you can't see what my mouth is actually doing. You could literally, you know, make somebody sound like they were making all kinds of, you know, statements that they are not making. It'd be very easy to do that. What if that's what's happening here? Or that's what they're preparing us for? Keep those masks on because we want to be able to make it look like you said something that you didn't say. Getting all this video of people talking with their mouth covered. You know, they can use that for you later. It's just a thought. It's my tinfoil hat thought for the day. So I'm sure it won't be my last. The interesting part about all this, though, with the SCOTUS thing and all the differences. So you got the SCOTUS, you've got the spending, that they're rampant spending, which is the spending part of it is kind of a Cloward and Piven type thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cloward and Piven. They wrote a book together. These two people named Cloward and Piven. I'm not sure if they were married or not. I still don't know. I'm not sure I understand the relationship between the two of them. But they were basically understanding that what you had to do to take over, to be able to reset the system, was to overwhelm the system. If you get the country into a point where you have so much debt that you can't repay it, and that it finally comes to a point where you have to collapse the dollar. The dollar would collapse because it won't be, you know, there's just a whole set of things that go into motion when that happens. And because the dollar is not based on any kind of anything intrinsic like silver or gold, or right now it's the pinning to the oil that oil is traded in U.S. dollars, which makes it worth something. Now, there's some theories out there, and this has always been my theory as well. It's just a matter of when it happens, not a matter of if, but. At some point, they'll try to get rid of cash altogether. One of the things that kind of bothers me about the whole COVID thing is that they keep talking about the spread, and we have to wear masks, and we have to shut down and not eat indoors, and we have to socially distance. So explain to me who's done a study on how this virus actually spreads. How does the virus actually spread? My dog is coughing. I don't know if you can hear that or not. That's kind of scary. I think it's coming across the. Yeah, it's. He's coughing. It's quite the cough he's got. And we send him to the boarding place once in a while, and a lot of times he comes back coughing. In fact, most of the times lately, he's been coming back coughing after he's been to the boarding place, for just a day. It's like a doggy daycare place. I don't know if it's because of the water. Not sure what it is. Now he's coughing, and this probably lasts for about 4 or 5 days. But don't worry, I'll be home for 2 weeks, so take care of the little booger. So the method in which they do all this stuff with the Cloward and Piven thing, they want to collapse the dollar. You know, dollar, there's no intrinsic value with our dollar, which makes it a little bit unstable. The one thing that really makes it stable is, or that makes it worth something, is that we can pay our taxes with it. The government accepts it as currency. Now he's trying to dig a hole now to put his coughs in, I guess. A carpeted floor. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'll just let you, this will be a zen moment of dog scratching. Settle down there, Bobo. So big old, it's not Bobo, it's Boo-Boo. So we had this issue then of collapsing the dollar, making it worth less. And when that starts to happen, they're going to, now one of the things I was going to started down this road, I think I'll keep going here since the dog wants to dig a hole. One of the things that I had a concern about was at some point they may say, okay, so we believe now that the virus may be spreading through cash and currency. So we're going to turn in all cash now must be digital. Has anybody ever thought about that? That, you know, how paper money, what they make that stuff out of that makes it antibacterial or anti, you know, whatever, viral. Because they never talk about it. Most people use credit cards, but however, you hand somebody your credit card, it's the same thing as handing them cash. Or you know, even if you use it in a machine, now you got to touch the button and put your little code in, or touch, you know, or if, even if you hit the "I don't want to put my code in" thing and just do credit or whatever. At some point, there's exchanges going on there that in my opinion, have the potential to spread something. I don't know, and not necessarily to the workers, but to the machine itself. And I don't think it stays on the machine very long. But what do we really know about how this thing spreads? Now, of course, I come back to my theory of putting a mask on. I'm breathing into the mask. I'm creating a more moist, there's much, a lot more moisture there. And, well, that figures. I'm already losing my internet. There's a lot more moisture there, and now I'm breathing through that moisture, and I'm creating a bigger cloud or more vaporized effect coming out of my breathing. Now, if I'm walking down someplace carrying my baggage or carrying, you know, I'm walking through an airport. I think about this occasionally. I'm walking through an airport and I'm dragging all my bags through there. And I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm breathing into my mask. Now I'm creating, it's almost like a steam locomotive. You can't see it, but it's there. The vapor is there. And I'm, of course, you know, getting, you know, you kind of get worked up, and you get, you know, you get yourself walking a couple miles, and you've got more vapor coming out. You're breathing heavier. You're breathing more. Got more moisture there. Anybody who's walking behind you is going to be breathing in that same thing. Well, not if you're wearing your mask. No, you don't understand. The mask, the air that you're breathing contains water vapor. There's no way of getting around that. Even wearing a mask, you're just not going to stop that. Unless you have a specialized HEPA mask, a HEPA filter on your mask. It's not going to happen. And you're going to be, there's too many holes in every mask that everybody's using. it may reduce to some degree the amount of vapor that's going to get into your nose to some degree. But again, if you're breathing in and out, air's coming from somewhere, and it's going to, the mask is not a viral filter. It just is, it's too big. Water vapor can get through it, like I talked about last week. Water vapor can go through fiberglass. It can get into the core of a fiberglass boat through the gel coat and through the fiberglass resin, the polyester resin. Literally goes through it. Try to breathe through that stuff. You cannot breathe if you have polyester resin put over your mouth, which some of you probably, if you're a politician, you might need that. But if you do that, you're not breathing. You can't breathe. And yet water vapor can get through that. Much like my dog trying to scratch through the carpeting. You can't breathe through it. But I digress. But the whole goal is to basically collapse the system. And then the other thing is the Rules for Radicals is kind of the book that everybody talks about all the time when they're talking about how the playbook for the left, the leftists and the Marxists. And it pretty much is. There are some other books out there that are very good as well. There's probably about 20 of them out there that kind of explain what the leftist agenda is and how they're planning to do this with regard to progressivism and the whole thing. And they're waiting, they're biding their time. They keep moving. And it's going to be real interesting to see how this all plays out. And considering we're only about 3 months into this thing, and we're already spending, $6 trillion with trillions of dollars more in my opinion, from what I understand, of course, now AOC is saying we're not doing nearly enough. We need to have a package that's at least $11 or $12 trillion to really make a difference with the Green New Deal. And really, I think the realistic estimates are $40 to $45 trillion. That's what they need to have to make the Green New Deal, quote, work. Now, you have to understand, it doesn't mean it works. When you talk about, they want to basically bring in communism completely. Socialist communism. And they don't want to talk about the fact that it's never worked before. And they continue to think that this is some kind of a utopian ideal. And they'll talk about how, that's the way the early church was. No, there's too many things that are different. I'm not going to get into it today, but it's not what the early church was. In fact, the pilgrims, and this is an interesting story. This is what was talked about today on Eric Metaxas. The pilgrims, when they first came here, they thought they were going to have this utopian new world. And they were going to try this experiment. They were all, believers. They were all of one heart and one mind. So they could just form this society where we have, no one calls anything their own. No one owned anything. Everything was divvied out to, people on the basis of whatever the people in charge decided they needed. Everything kind of looked the same, and everything was, they tried to do their thing. So they had the first 2 years, they basically, everybody went out, farmed, got their crops, and they all, everybody had responsibilities. They were assigned responsibilities, and those responsibilities then were overseen by the leadership, and the leadership then, they took the fruits of their labor, whatever they were able to produce, food or whatever they had, hunted and that kind of thing, farmed. And they and they all shared everything. So nobody really got to, if one person could work hard, the other person could work, not work at all, for that matter, and still get the same amount. There was all kinds of things going on there. So, and it was, you look back at the early history of that whole thing, it was falling apart, and they were not able to produce them. They were going to all die. It was down to they were barely making it. So they decided to change things. Started changing things, and they started making this. They said, okay, so everybody go ahead and just do, they just changed the whole philosophy. It's a philosophy basically to a more capitalist style, individualist style way of doing things. So individuals would be able to farm on their own property. They're kind of their own thing. And then they were kind of expected or encouraged to give to their neighbors, the ones who didn't have enough. Everybody kind of could take pride in their own work, and they could do their own thing and kind of enjoy the fruits of their own labor. And everything turned around very quickly. Because now all of a sudden people were self-motivated. They had work and reward were the same. They could, as much effort as they put in, they could get that, reap the rewards of that effort. And it worked. And then those who were less fortunate were cared for. Because you had something to give. Because you were more productive. Because you saw the direct correlation between, work, your effort, and your reward. So it's interesting that turned around. Then I'm kind of summing it up and probably butchering the whole story. But it's an interesting story. It probably should, it's worth revisiting. And some of you have never heard that story before, but that's actually what happened. It's worth looking into that whole thing and going back to the history of that. Of course, those who refuse to remember history are doomed to repeat it. So that's where we are today. Now, most of the people who are on the left and doing this utopian idea of what should happen here with this communist socialist thing, they didn't live through the Cold War. They didn't understand the Soviet Union. They didn't understand what happened back then. They see China as it is now, which China as itself, as a country, operates in the world in a very capitalist way. But the country itself, within the country, is dominated by a CCP, Chinese Communist Party, which controls all the labor and treats people like chattel. So that's the CCP is really the one that's making out on this whole thing. Yeah, so that's kind of my thing for the day, and hopefully this new computer works, and I can keep it going. Now later on, tomorrow morning is gonna be an early show, and then there'll be a later show in the afternoon. Possibly going to be able to get Rabbi Rick on here as a phone-in guest. In the meantime, if you want to call in, 574-742-6748, be happy to take your call. Be happy to respond to your text messages, if you want to text that number. And ask any questions, make any comments. If there's a subject you want me to talk about. Later on, tomorrow morning's show is going to be more about some of the gun control issues and some of that kind of thing, and I'm going to really get into that more tomorrow. Also going to talk a little bit about the Floyd trial, the Chauvin trial, and what's going on with that, and this new shooting, some of the police tactics, all that kind of stuff. There's just so much going on, but I wanted to kind of cover this one general philosophy thing for now. But have a great night, everybody. God bless, and take care.